the Word in our lives. Hi, this is Carl Kosar from the School of Theology at Walla Walla College. Welcome to Probe, our weekly radio program that explores biblical and theological topics that are central to our Christian faith. Today we begin and continue our series of discussions on Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet, the Bible for Today. To help us explore this important subject, I've invited two of my colleagues to join me in the discussion, Dr. Bruce Johansson, Professor of Biblical Studies, and Dr. Dave Thomas, the Dean of the School of Theology. Welcome, gentlemen, and thank you for joining me again.
Hi, Carl. Good to be with you.
The Word in Our Lives, this week's lesson, focuses on the importance of allowing the Bible to impact the way we live. This is an extremely important point, and I think far too often we limit our experience with Scripture to just a list of fundamental beliefs about God, without making that connection of what it says to us and how we live life on a day-by-day basis. But also, this is important because it's crucial that we know how to read the Bible. Just picking up the Bible and opening it for an answer to a major issue in life could be very misleading. So today we get to talk about the issue of how we read Scripture and how that Word impacts our lives and where we go with that. Important topic. Gentlemen, do you think we can just pick our Bibles up and start reading? It's a good thing to read Scripture.
Sometimes you can.
It's this topic actually fascinates me. I can remember when I was a kid, I liked the way the Bible made me feel. Of course, I picked the passages too.
Yes.
And then later on, I became very serious about belief. So the Bible was interesting in on how it shaped my beliefs. And as a somewhat older person now, I am much more interested in application. How does the Bible help me live?
What difference does it make?
What difference does it make in my life and help me live? And unfortunately, that has its dangers because it can turn so easily into some form of legalism and kind of pigeonhole morality, you know?
Yeah, my experience resonates with yours. I think back when I first made my decision to follow Jesus and so forth and how caught up I was in it with having the right answers to these questions. But at the same time, I could,
You can have it all right.
Have it all right, but struggle in my Christian experience of being cranky or irritable or unkind even.
Yeah.
But letting the Word transform the way we live, I think, is central to looking at life. And Scripture plays a key part in
And how you treat people. And that's not always easy.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I think it's possible to be right, dead right.
Right, but dead.
Yeah. I learned a poem years ago about a guy who was sailing. And it's a poem about the right of way, and he said he was right, dead right as he sailed along, but he's just as dead as if he'd been wrong. I think that if we approach the Bible in a highly legalistic sense, it's possible for us to be that way. We can be right technically, but
so wrong at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, our week's lesson gives us a number of examples. I think it's important to perhaps look at some of these and try to formulate how we read Scripture. So, for example, let's say a Christian family is having trouble with a teenager. Child shows little respect to his or her parents and is often downright rebellious. What should parents do? What says the Word of the Lord? Sounds like a real-life situation, and it is for many people.
Don't go to Deuteronomy 21.
Well, it's Scripture. Well, let's turn to Scripture. Why would we limit ourselves? Why would we not turn to Deuteronomy 21? What does it say, Bruce?
That's pretty drastic, isn't it? I think he's taken out and stoned.
Yeah, that would not be...
Yeah.
So how do you so here you have Scripture, you have a real life issue, but Scripture sometimes says stoning.
Yeah.
Others in Ephesians, Paul talks about, fathers don't, drive your children to wrath and anger.
Wrath and anger. Yeah.
So
and Proverbs says use the stick.
Yeah. Spare the rod, spoil the child.
And Exodus 20 says honor your father and your mother.
So gentlemen, what do we do? Here we have a real life situation. People who are struggling. How do you make decisions when? Is this just the luck of the Bible flopping and it falls to Deuteronomy? That's your answer for that day, or how do you go about answering these questions? I mean, this is not just an academic theoretical issue.
No,
this is really a real life issue.
Yeah, I think that you have to look at this issue from the background of the big picture of Scripture, and you have to realize that rebellious teenager is a human being who was made in the image of God, but who has fallen under the effects of sin. And I don't mean sin their wrongdoings only. I mean sin
in general,
in the big picture. And therefore, you're faced with a dynamic of how do you act in a way to redeem this child. That's how I would approach it. And I think that even Deuteronomy 21, those are instructions that are contextualized by the circumstances of the time.
Mm-hmm.
There are some places even today where a child like this would be severely beaten.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be a redemptive act. I don't know. But, we do know from the study of human experience that highly authoritarian structures breed hostility and rebellion. And so one of the things I would like to know about this Christian family is what kind of structure have they established? Have they applied the other counsels of Scripture that parents love your children, nurture them, care for them, or we just suddenly now have an isolated incident that we're going to find a text and hammer somebody with?
So. That's right. Exactly.
It can be very dangerous.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we are so interrelated emotionally, and in so every other way that very often a child's behavior might have been induced by the parent, as you have suggested.
Well, it might have been induced by circumstances at school. It might have been. I mean, this troublesome teenager has a history that I think we need to know, and it has to be connected. You can't deal with this in isolation.
Mm-hmm.
We have to look at this and try in a compassionate and wise way, although perhaps a firm way, to readjust. Well, another challenge here is that this is an internal problem. An attitudinal problem.
Oh, yes.
And how do you fix that?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no switch for attitude.
Once again, we're faced with either a principled approach or a proof text approach.
Yeah.
And a proof text approach obviously is unsatisfactory because we have at least four different texts here that don't agree. And
in fact, very drastically, one is stone them.
Yeah. And the other one is don't punish them and drive them to anger. For me, reading Scripture as a whole, rather than is pulling out pieces there, is the best way.
Mm.
How does God deal?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was just on my mind, Bruce. Did God stone his wayward children?
Mm. He did. We're all in trouble.
He didn't keep the consequences away from them.
No.
True.
He didn't. He was a good parent in that sense.
That's true. But he stuck with them and he loved them through thick and thin.
And if you come out in the New Testament, that's one of the overriding features of God, that he was faithful to his people even though they were unfaithful to him.
Yeah.
And he loved them and it provided a way out for them.
And see, this is a struggle for us as human parents, is that we don't like to love when it's hard. We like the rewards of happy love. But I know I had a friend years ago who went through a very difficult time with his son. His son actually set about to discredit this man. This man was a minister, and his son set out to publicly discredit his dad.
Mm.
And I saw the pain and the sorrow. And what can you do? You can't fix it. My last picture of those two was sitting side by side in a religious meeting where this boy had come to faith.
Mm. Wow.
And part of the contributing factor was the persistent love of his father in spite of the despicable treatment that the son heaped upon him.
Wow.
But how difficult
That is so difficult.
How difficult.
How do you get there? Hmm. What makes a father like that?
Well, I think that looking at what you see in the Bible is a big help.
Yeah.
Hmm. That, if God is a father and he endured the insults and the departures of his children.
You see, for me, I've known about that for a long time in my life, but it didn't get into my life.
Hmm.
I knew it from childhood, actually.
Yeah.
But the whole thing of putting it into my life, and that is, it's one thing to know this truth; it's another thing to put it into your life.
And see, I think the power, the way to deal with this is that the Bible creates a framework for living. It's not just it doesn't give you specific instructions. Don't eat between meals and always pray your blessing before you eat.
Yeah.
You don't find a lot of that kind of information, but you find a whole context for living.
Yes.
And therefore, I think you are much better able to make strategic decisions You know, this hit or miss decision stuff is dangerous. And I know people who sit down and say, well, I need direction from the Lord, and they open the Bible and point at a text. And, you know, I believe God sometimes directs people that way, but that's
well, and I need to,
that's helter-skelter living.
It can be. But at the same time, I think, you know, we need to, you know, and we may have listeners that probably do that. My wife is a fan of doing the Bible floppy, and I don't know how she does it, but I'm amazed at how God apparently guides her through that process. But I think as on a whole, though, when we approach Scripture, we need to come up with a number of steps on how to do that. And so,
See, the Bible talks about understanding and using your understanding. And there's some wonderful texts, including that great one about God sitting in, inviting us to sit down and reason with Him. Is that He gave us understanding for a reason. In Psalm 32, it says, "Don't be like a mule or a horse that's led by a bridle." But rather God says, "I will have oversight, I will dialogue, I will teach you." That the involvement of a human understanding is absolutely crucial. And I think that the Bible informs that understanding. We have to make strategic decisions.
Now, I'd like to suggest perhaps these steps for our listeners, and maybe, gentlemen, you can give me your reaction to these. And if you have a difficult issue like this, or like the ones that let the points out in our lesson, what are the steps of reading Scripture? Here's what I've come up with. One, start off by praying for God's guidance. This is a spiritual issue. We just can't do this by our own, but pray for God's guidance. Two, try to figure out what was the original point of the passage. What, you know, was Paul trying to say when he wrote to the church in Ephesus? What was Mark trying to say? Or next step, examine the context in which it was written. Is it a timeless principle, specific, limited truth? And then perhaps the fourth, maybe identify the genre of the passage. Is it a parable, which would change how you would, you look at the passage, or should it be treated as history? Gentlemen, would you agree with that? Would you make improvements? How do you read Scripture?
Yeah, and I would add a few things to that. I think that there are some scriptures that speak very directly to a subject. You know, very directly. Do not kill.
Yes.
There are others that infer actions, you know. And some of those inferences sometimes are very direct. And then you can progress even to some way that the inferences are so gentle that you need a whole bunch of them even to conclude that there is an inference in that direction. So even when you look at scriptures, some of them are very direct, and some of them, there's a progression that goes down. So I would add that to your list, which I think is good.
And if Scripture doesn't address the particular issue you're wrestling with, I keep coming back and saying, what is the Christian thing to do? What is the Christian thing to do? What would
But you can only decide that on big picture issues.
Big picture issues. That's right. And I don't know. I think that any time communication breaks down, one is in jeopardy.
And I also think that there are some things that the Bible does not speak to that you will have to decide for yourself.
That's right.
Which is a tough truth, but it is.
I think this once goes back to our very beginning, this issue of biblical illiteracy. And this is the call for you and I and our listeners to read Scripture. And God can speak to us in powerful ways.
The whole Scripture.
Yes, the whole Scripture, not just select passages.
But, Carl, also we have to be willing to bend in the direction of Scripture, which is something we haven't talked about.
Very, very true. Gentlemen, our time is up. I'd like to thank you for helping me today, and for Susan Michael for her technical assistance, and to you, our listeners of Probe. Please join us next week as we continue this most important topic, Bible for Today. For Probe, I'm Carl Cosart.
You've been listening to Probe, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla College and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194 or email us at probe@wwc.edu. Thanks for listening. We'll be here next week at this time with Probe.